I guess if both sides get it, it makes it okay. Next in Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Great to be back with you in the studio, Barry. And as you hear this, of course, we're teaching our classes in Marengo and in Mount Vernon. So,
yeah, not exactly at the same time. We can't defy the laws of physics and be in two places at the same time.
And we don't teach it by split-screen TV.
And if I remember correctly, by the time they're hearing this one, I'm teaching those classes because you are on your way to a homeschool conference.
That's right. I'm doing a homeschool conference to promote Camp American, www.campamerican.com.
Excellent.
And we'd really love to have you this year. And please have a look at that website. And if you have any questions, give us a call. Believe it or not, so far, we have to talk about keeping the enrollment low this year.
Praise God.
Yeah. Because the camp where we are has a bald eagle nesting, and they won't let us use part of the facility.
Well, they'll let the bald eagle use it, but just not
us. The bald eagle can use it. We can't.
I wonder if the IRS will investigate the bald eagle.
I doubt it.
Well, you know what? We talked about this on yesterday's program about the IRS being, shall we say, being naughty, supposedly targeting conservative Tea Party, patriot / constitutional adherence groups for special scrutiny. Well, Chuck, people are outraged about that, including the President of the United States. I saw it in the Columbus Dispatch. Right. They front page, top of the fold, a big picture of the president saying it's an outrage. Well, it's only an outrage because people found out about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's going to be a bigger outrage when they start walking it back and somebody inside the IRS decides they don't want to do 20 years for Barack Obama and they spill the beans about this being guided and directed by somebody from the Obama campaign.
Well, of course, John Boehner's out there now thumping his chest and saying somebody's going to go to jail over this.
That reminds me of the movie National Treasure, which my kids just watched the other night. Well, Ben, somebody's got to go to jail. I think John Boehner is doing his best Harvey Keitel impression.
I'm going to be quite honest with you. I've never been able to stomach either one of those movies because it's such license.
Well, the first one's much better than the second one, but that's not saying much.
I still remember the thing with John Voight.
John Voight, thank you.
John Voight. With his face all fallen because there's a possibility that some relative of theirs was involved in the conspiracy to kill Lincoln. It's like, happened about almost 160 years ago. I think you might be able to get over it
by now. That's right. Well, anyhow, you know, we have this issue and everybody's upset. John Boehner's upset. The president's foe upset. Tea Party groups are incredibly upset. And as we talked about yesterday, the Ohio Republican Party is trying to raise money off of all of it. Well, they're not the only ones, I guess, who could start trying to raise money, Chuck, because according to an article in Bloomberg, yes, I know, it is Bloomberg.com, and yes, I know, it is tied to Mayor Bloomberg, okay?
Yeah, unfortunately.
In a byline by Julie Bykowitz and Jonathan Sayant, the headline reads thus, IRS sent same letter to Democrats that fed the Tea Party row. In other words, as these...
I think that's Row.
Row, row. Okay, all right, okay,
You know what?
I have trouble with the English language.
Yeah, English as a first language is no easier than English as a second language.
That's right. But anyhow, so what they're putting forth here, Chuck, and of course it's coming from a liberal screed like Bloomberg, is that everybody shouldn't be upset, and this is all much ado about nothing. We should ignore this because, well, you know, the IRS was actually being nonpartisan. They weren't just targeting certain conservative groups because they had the name Tea Party or Patriot or something in their name. Oh, no. They targeted some Democrat groups, too. Well, there's only a slight problem. Because when you get down about two-thirds of the way through this massively long article on Bloomberg, you realize that the Democratic groups that they targeted and actually denied nonprofit status to were actually created solely for the purpose of training and running Democrat candidates in certain races, which is a clear violation of
a nonprofit status. Well, let's take a look at the difference, Barry, because one of the things that, for instance, my group does, Camp American, we're a 501c3. We truly do nonpartisan education. We teach about founding principles, founding documents, history, economics, science, all these things from a biblical worldview perspective, not from a Republican Party perspective.
And let's not forget archaeology, too, Chuck, because we do tell people where the bones are buried.
Well, which actually probably would have gotten us in some kind of trouble. So the difference here is, in this case, the IRS was doing its job. It was denying nonprofit status and non-political nonprofit status to someone who was clearly doing recruiting and training for a specific political party.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I think it's interesting because in the Bloomberg article, they frame it thusly, Chuck. And again, it's that devil in the details idea. What they want you to come away with is one thing. What they're really saying and really pushing for is totally different. And they say here, well, the Internal Revenue Service, under pressure after admitting it targeted anti-tax Tea Party groups for scrutiny in recent years, also had its eye on at least three Democrat-leaning organizations seeking nonprofit status. Leaning organizations? First of all, one of them was just out-and-out training Democrat women to run and win office.
Exactly.
And working as a private entity with only Democrat identified candidates, that's not a Democrat-leaning organization. That's a Democrat Party organization.
That's a wholly owned shadow corporation.
Yeah. But that's not the big thing. Again, that's what they want you to focus on. It's the next paragraph.
That's right.
One of those groups, Emerge America, saw its tax-exempt status denied, forcing it to disclose its donors and pay some taxes. None of the Republican groups have said their applications were rejected. Okay, Chuck. Here's the real nugget in the whole thing. You and I both saw it when we read the article, and we talked about it off air. It isn't so much that the IRS targeted anybody. It's that these conservative groups don't disclose their donors.
That's right.
And how dare they? They must be stopped. We must have full disclosure of anybody who donates to a nonprofit, which is the reason why when we ended up having to go through that application deal a couple of years ago after our nonprofit status got suspended by that new IRS rule, they wanted to know everybody. They wanted to know the names and backgrounds of every board member that we'd ever had.
That's right.
Active and past. Any of our membership. And they wanted all complete information on them. And anybody we had ever taught a class to or did a speech before. It was ridiculous how much information they were asking for. What they're really getting at, Chuck, is something that the left has been screaming about now for a while, and the screams have gotten to the shrill pitch of an Edward Munch painting. And if you know the reference, it's The Scream.
Yeah, The Scream.
Which maybe somebody didn't know. But they're getting to that pitch because Citizens United opened the door for a lot of these C4 nonprofits to be able to really come up to the bar and pony up and play political ball without having to disclose their donors because, as a nonprofit C4, you don't have to disclose your donors.
Exactly. Look, all you have to do is look who is pushing legislation to basically revive that part of McCain-Feingold that's had a stake driven through its heart by the court. And that is Ron Wyden, ultra-liberal from Oregon,
yes,
a Democratic senator, and Lisa Murkowski,
Republican senator from Alaska.
Liberal, ultra-liberal Republican senator from Alaska who lost her job, lost in a primary.
And then the United States Republican Senatorial Committee.
That's right.
Went in and paid a bunch of money to get her back in.
To kill off a Tea Party candidate.
Yes.
And then she, of course, converted from an independent back to a Republican.
Of course.
After she won this faux third party.
This sham third party, yeah, race in Alaska.
After they did character assassination on the Republican Party basically pulled out all the stops to do character assassination on the Republican candidate.
Yeah.
All you have to do is look at these two and what they want to do. Ron Wyden, an Oregon Democrat who sits on the Senate Finance Committee, which is conducting its own IRS investigation, has introduced legislation with Alaska Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski to require all groups spending money on politics to disclose their donors. Why?
Well, because if there are many donors who don't want to be identified because they don't want to be harassed.
Exactly.
Think about it. Now, okay, put this in the context of the abortion rights movement and homosexual rights movement. Anytime these groups get a sniff of who's opposing them, they use terroristic tactics,
yes,
against them. Ask people who've had their churches firebombed by gay rights
supporters. Late night phone calls, dogs killed.
Oh, I've got one of those right now, political issue down in southern Ohio where an incoming sheriff had members of the other political party slaughter his dog in his front yard.
Yeah, wow.
Nice way to enter office with a nice little threat package laying on your front lawn for your kids to find in the morning.
Well, listen to what Wyden tells reporters here, and I think this is really important. These problems, what problems? Really, what problems are we talking about? There are no problems, really, with non-disclosure on donors. But he said, these problems will continue as long as there's an absence of clear and enforceable rules, Wyden told reporters yesterday. In the absence of clear and enforceable rules, the bureaucracy pretty much makes it up as they go along. That speaks volumes.
Well, it does, and it's like a stereo, Chuck, because there's two messages that are going here. Number one, if you go back, they're saying, ultimately, this is the first step. We're going to force everybody to disclose their donors so that then we can write rules on whether or not people can donate to certain groups.
Exactly right. And, of course, what that violates is a couple of things. A, the First Amendment. And also the Fourth.
Yes, it
if
does.
If you think about it. The right to be secure in your person's papers, houses, and effects.
Yes.
Well, the fact part of your papers and effects are the checks that you write to whoever you want to write them to for whatever purpose.
Right.
And then, of course, the First Amendment part that it
besides. You have freedom of association.
Freedom of speech, and that's the one I was going to come up with, freedom of association.
Yes.
An undeniable freedom. And, in fact, what Wyden and Murkowski are saying here is that you don't have the freedom of association or the freedom of speech or the right to be secure in your person's papers, houses, and effects.
I'm going to step one further on this First Amendment issue because I believe that putting your resources behind a candidate in order to put them into office is also an idea of petitioning government for a redress of your grievances.
Which, again, First Amendment.
It's the First Amendment. Now, everybody thinks that is signing a petition and asking the government to do something. But the point is, my petition is, I'm petitioning somebody to run for office, and I'm going to put them in government in order to redress my grievances.
And the way that was done, Barry, because the United States of America is a representative-style government with representative-style political process, the fact is that you choose a group that represents your values, you associate with them, and you give them money, and they represent you in the form of petitioning for redress of grievances.
And it doesn't have to be a political party.
That's
right.
That
was the beauty of our founders' idea was they abhorred political parties. They rather would have small groups of citizens who come together over shared beliefs and values.
Oh, absolutely. Think about it in terms of the Minutemen, who were really a militia group, but there was another group.
Oh, how about the Committees of Correspondence?
The Committees of Correspondence. The groups that, trying to think, that met in the Green Dragon in Boston. There were a number of Tea Party-style groups.
Yes.
That met together to do this work. They would create these petitions for redress of grievances and send them off to the King and Parliament. Not everybody in the United States of America was doing this individually.
No.
You got together with groups and did it in groups. That's the way it's done.
And oftentimes you did it as states because each state had a colonial governor.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Chuck, we can go on with this, but the point is, folks, that's the reason why studying the Constitution is important. And also another reason, Chuck, while any group that teaches constitutionalism or the Bill of Rights was targeted for specific scrutiny by the Internal Revenue Service. When you teach people the power of the tool that we were given in the Constitution, all of a sudden, what government is giving them now in the form of Ron Wyden and Lisa Murkowski and, oh, we have to publicize everybody and what they give, we've adopted Marxism.
Oh, absolutely.
Not overtly and not consciously, but subconsciously, because the vast majority of people out there probably would get all upset, well, these fat cats are directing everything, and we need to know who they are. Whoa, stop. That's Marxist. The whole point is,
yeah,
you can have just as much pull in this as anybody else can. It's just that you need to be wise and know how to do it. And why should you, if you take a class on the Constitution, have to let the IRS know that you did it?
One of the things that we teach, of course, in our class is the American view of government, which is really very simple. There is a creator God.
Yes.
Our rights come from him.
Yes.
And the purpose of government is to protect those rights.
Yes. That's it.
And the Marxist view is there is a government. Our rights come from it, and if they choose to take away our rights, we don't have them anymore. That's what we're looking at here, and Lisa Murkowski and Ron Wyden would like very much to remove our right of association, speech,
petitioning for redress of grievances,
and remember,
and security in our personal papers.
Remember the big deal that was made when the Tea Partiers were showing up at the town hall meetings and making a stink. They actually attempted to stack the audiences. In fact, our own senator here,
Sherrod Brown,
literally did that, brought in busfuls of people, denied entrance to anyone who looked like they might be a Tea Partier. Well, that being said, I'm looking at the clock. We're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.